Marcus Sahaba, the voice of Ahl Sunnah wal Jamaah.
Jazakallah Mawlana, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen, ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, Jazallah unna Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam bima wa ahluhu. Gee, this is our fifth program, the 19th of May, 2024, the 10th of Zulqaeda, 1445. It is the 225th day of the genocide that is being perpetrated on the Palestinian brethren in the Gaza and the West Bank. We welcome the listeners to this program of Bilad al-Muslimin on Marcus Sahaba only, the voice of the Ahl Sunnah wal-Jamaat. Over the last few programs, we dealt with three books regarding the approach of the West in their relation with the Islamic world. One was The End of History by Francis Fukuyama. The second was Civil Democratic Islam by Cheryl Bernard, which was published by the Rand Corporation. And the third one last week we dealt with was The Crash of Civilizations. The central theme and hypothesis of these tomes was the approach of watering down the influence and the adherence to the teachings of Islam by its primary sources, that is the Holy Quran and the Sunnah of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. We can imagine that in the great holy month of Hajj, the Saudis host the swimwear fashion show in Jeddah. And this is part of the renewal of reinterpreting Islam according to the norms and standards set by the West. This morning we discussed the treacherous Abraham Accords initiated by former President Donald Trump of the United States of America and under the control of his son-in-law Jared Kushner. The inauguration was heralded as the deal of the century. Mulana, I just want to comment in between. You had a very good comment by Sheikh Mansour regarding the AIDS and the role of the pharmaceuticals. He quoted, the pharmaceuticals to survive, there has to be poverty, sickness, and underdevelopment. Yeah. And on our side, we have that for the military-industrial complex to survive, there has to be war and insurrection. And the Palestinian territories has been the laboratory for testing new lethal weapons that create mass genocide to our people and place the sanctity of Masjid al-Aqsa in jeopardy. The Abraham Accords are a series of treaties normalizing diplomatic relations between Israel, the United Arab Emirates, Bahrain, Sudan, and Morocco, facilitated by the U.S. administration between August and December 2020. In the span of 5 short months, these 4 Arab states joined Egypt and Jordan in making peace with Israel. The agreements were called the Abraham Accords in honor of Abraham, the patriarch of Judaism, Christianity, and Islam. The Abraham Accords began with the groundbreaking Israel-UAE agreement on August 2020. Now, these are the interests of the United Arab Emirates that had been secured by the Abraham Accords, and in the process gave Israel the opportunity to act the way it wanted because of the removal of these influential, so-called influential Arab countries from the equation regarding Palestine. The US, UAE and Israel have never fought militarily, but the UAE did participate in the Arab League boycott against Israel, which had been in place since Israel's establishment in 1948. The agreement was the result of shared interests, and this is the very important, regarding threats posed by Iran's regime and years of quiet secret cooperation. Israel opened an international diplomatic office in the UAE in 2015. Mossad chief Yossi Cohen made several secret trips there, and the two governments cooperated to fight the coronavirus pandemic also. Both countries are interested in diversifying their economies and engaging with each other to achieve that goal. Israel agreed to freeze its plans of annexation of sovereignty in the West Bank as part of the deal. And this was becoming imminent. And what the UAE believes that this was a great achievement that it stopped Israel from annexing the West Bank, which has been under occupation since 1967. And the Gaza also under siege for the last 15 years. The agreement has led not only to diplomatic ties, but also cultural exchanges and grassroots cooperation between people in both countries. Since the accords were signed in September 2020, 130,000 Israelis have visited Dubai, and trade between the two countries had reached about 1 million Emirati dinars. In a move widely seen as tied to the Abraham Accords, the U.S. agreed to sell, and this is very interesting, where they're wasting money of the Ummah, to sell advanced F-35 warplanes to the UAE. This raised concerns among the Israeli security officially that these planes could be used to threaten Israel in the future. The U.S. and Israel officials have discussed the issue and seem to have reached an understanding about ensuring Israel can effectively defend itself. In fact, Israel blackmailed the United States of America into increasing the provision of military weapons. The next country that signed these accords was Bahrain. A similar agreement was announced in September 2020. They initially signed a declaration of peace, agreeing to normalize diplomatic relations, negotiate a formal peace treaty, and not to antagonize each other. Officials from the two countries then began to working together on the details of how they would cooperate in various areas. Similar to the UAE, there was a long-time quiet cooperation between Israel and Bahrain. The King of Bahrain denounced the Arab League boycott of Israel in 2017. In 2020, Bahrain hosted the Peace of Prosperity Conference, which was led by the U.S. administration and boycotted by Palestinian leaders. The UAE and Bahrain have since announced they would cooperate with Israel to present a unified front to the U.S. regarding Iran nuclear deal and the Iranian regime's ballistic missile program. Israel and Sudan also signed a normalization agreement in October 2020. This is the third country. This agreement is more complicated than the others because Sudan's government is going through a transition with the stated goal of becoming more democratic. And in fact, we know what is happening today. There is a famine. More than millions of people have been displaced and people are starving. There are some difficulties in preventing a normalization agreement, namely that Sudan must have first to repeal a domestic law that prohibits relations with Israel. Progress has also been slowed by opposition from groups in Sudan and a precarious transition in the government. The fourth country, Morocco, announced normalization in December 2020. Morocco has had quiet diplomatic relations with Israel prior to open normalization. This was partly based on a long history of Jews in Morocco, many of whom fled the country to Israel. The Moroccan government has made efforts to preserve Jewish history and welcome Moroccans, Jews, to visit the country. The United States recognized Morocco's claims to the disputed territory of Western Sahara, that is the Sahrawi Islamic Republic, as an incentive for the Moroccan government to normalize relations with Israel. This was a controversial decision, and it is unclear if the Biden administration will adopt the same stance. Palestinian leaders have strongly condemned the Abraham Accords. The Palestinian Authority called the UAE-Israeli government agreement a total betrayal and attacked the UAE. Hamas reacted saying the agreement served the Zionist narrative and that Arab states should continue to engage in anti-normalization. These states led to a backlash in the Arab world, including lengthy interview by former Saudi ambassador to the U.S., Prince Bandar bin Sultan, leveling unprecedented and harsh public criticism against the Palestinian leadership. We know that Hamas was affiliated and is affiliated to the Islamic Muslim Brotherhood, Ikhwan al-Muslimin, and the fear of the Ikhwan al-Muslimin, as we've seen in Egypt, with the murder of Sheikh Mohammed Mursi, rahmatullah alayhi, within the Arab authoritarian and dictatorial regimes, is just endemic. According to a poll by the Palestinian Center for Policy and Survey Research, 80% of Palestinians describe their feelings towards the Abraham Accords as treason, abandonment, and insult. We know that they have forsaken the Masjid al-Aqsa also at the same time. Dennis Ross, a former Middle East peace envoy for the U.S., wrote that the UAE's move should also signal to the Palestinians that others are not going to wait for them to make peace with Israel. Other Arab and Muslim states such as Oman, Indonesia, and Saudi Arabia are rumored to be considering normalization with Israel as well. Taking into consideration what has taken place now with the genocide that is being perpetrated in Gaza and the West Bank, it is the whole normalization process has now come to a standstill. For decades, the peaceful resolution of the Israeli-Palestinian conflict, meaning the provision of an independent state for the Palestinian people and the end of Israeli occupation of Palestinian territory, was central to the task of engineering peace between Israel and its Arab neighbors. This was a problem since between successive Israeli governments steadily chipping away at the possibility of a two-state solution to the conflict and dwindling U.S. interest in pressuring the Israeli state to follow through on the commitment, that resolution started to look increasingly impossible. But over time, the priorities of Arab states shifted away from Palestinians too. Their largely authoritarian leadership became more preoccupied with methods like maintaining political control in the wake of the Arab Spring protests, for which support from an advanced military power like Israel might prove useful, and an increasingly assertive Iran, which then newly appointed Crown Prince Mohammed bin Salman called a much more urgent and more important issue. This shift dovetailed with the Trump administration's ultra-Israel-friendly stance and its own goal for further isolating Iran in the region. The resulting Abraham Accords were, at least in the neoconservative world, considered a stroke of genius. Rather than finding a solution to the seemingly intractable question of Palestinian statehood, it simply sidelined it. The Zionists dropped this long-standing precondition as they re-established diplomatic relations and deepened security and economic cooperation with Israel, while Trump lavished them with rewards like an arms deal for the United Arab Emirates, the U.S. recognition of the West Sahara for Morocco. It effectively supplanted the Saudi government's Arab peace initiative by King Abdullah stated that there should be a Palestinian state with the 1967 borders as its boundaries and East Jerusalem as its capital. And this is now being sidelined completely also, which since its 2002 introduction had been the foundation of the Arab world's program for resolving the conflict. placing the Palestinian people issue right at the forefront and center of all the negotiations. The new normalization agreement's foundational and cynical assumption was that the plight of the Palestinian people could not and would be safely ignored and forgotten about by both the region's governments and the broader international community. Both the Trump administration and reportedly bin Salman pressured Palestinian Authority President Mahmoud Abbas to assent, while the states that signed the continued paying lip service to the Palestinian cause, claiming this normalization push would halt Israel's annexations plan for its illegal West Bank settlements. In reality, the text of the agreements barely mentioned Palestinians. Outside of a few vague assurances to keep working towards a negotiated solution to the Israeli-Palestinian conflict, and that Morocco maintained a coherent and constant unchanged position on the matter. This was, to put it mildly, far short of what both Palestinians and their supporters in the U.S. Congress demanded. As Arab states began gradually deepening ties with Israel, they increasingly backed away from their historic positions. Bin Salman declared and then walked back that Israel have the right to have their own land, effectively sanctioning the loss of what the Muslim world viewed as Palestinians' historic land. At the same time, Al-Aqsa was in danger, and in fact, there has been rumors that the Saudis were wanting to take away the control of the Waqf of the Al-Aqsa complex from the Jordanians and incorporate it into their grand control of the holy places of Islam. When the violence broke out in April 2021 at the Al-Aqsa Mosque, with Israeli forces raiding one of Islam's holiest sites, the UAE response was notably muted. That the normalization process continued despite what would earlier have been viewed as an unacceptable provocation against both Palestinians and Islam itself was celebrated by the accord supporters as proof that ongoing repression of Palestinians could indeed safely be ignored. But the Palestinian issue could not simply be wished away. And the signing of the pacts created a set of contradictions that fueled the tensions that erupted October 7th and the 76 years of the Nakba, since the Nakba that had been perpetrated by the Zionist state. The vast majority of the populations of Israel's Arab neighbors opposed the accords, as it did some leaders like Turkish Foreign Minister Cavusoglu, who charged that the Zionists had lost their moral compass, and Jordan's King Abdullah, who declared that no architecture for regional security and development can stand over the burning ashes of this conflict. This was hypocritical by King Abdullah of Jordan, because he was one of the first guys to sign an agreement with the Israelis, no matter that. Though it is a small country, it has very little resources, and it is a threat continuously by the Zionist regime. So did the Palestinians themselves across opinion surveys, with both the Palestinian Authority and Hamas calling it a betrayal, a treacherous stab, and a grave harm. Hamas also called for an integrated plan to bring down normalization. Protests against the accords erupted in Morocco, one of the signers. The signing of the accords was particularly fraught in Saudi Arabia. The country's powerful clerics now they have submitted themselves to what MBS says, continues to oppose Israeli policy towards the Palestinians. But beyond that, Saudi leadership's internal legitimacy and its standing as the region's leader of the Islam continue to rest in part of its commitment to the Palestinians. regional rival Iran quickly stepped in to fill this vacuum left by Saudi support for the deal, sharply criticizing the normalization effort as a betrayal of Palestinian aspirations for freedom. Meanwhile, Israel didn't change as promised, and in fact only hardened. Since 2020, when the accords were signed, illegal settlements have expanded and even ramped up alongside settler violence. The Netanyahu government has now advanced a record number of settler housing units and transferred administration of the occupied territories from military to civilian hands, widely interpreted as signaling plans for annexation, even as figures like Abbas advisor Gaither Olomari claimed that the accords had already delivered to the Palestinians by stopping this policy, that is, that Israel would not annex the West Bank. The Biden administration could have reversed Trump's efforts and placed pressure on Israel to halt these plans, as well as end its settlement expansion while making good on its promises and obligations under the peace process. Instead, the president continued Trump's normalization efforts while breaking from presidential precedent and not even attempting to advance the peace process, all the while issuing little to no criticism of the Israel government's violations. Biden has in fact escalated the issue, pushing for an Israel-Saudi normalization agreement, with a concession to Palestinians, the mere preservation of the possibility of Israel-Palestinian peace, an agreement that would also entail further nuclear proliferation in the region and giving Saudi Arabia security assurances. Even so, Biden's Secretary of State continued to claim that this could be used to advance the peace between Palestinians and the Israelis. So while Hamas had reportedly planned this operation of October 7 for 2 years, and claimed it was motivated by years of violence at Al-Aqsa, its attack can't be understood without bipartisan push for Israeli Arab normalization at the Palestinians' expense and the outrage, anger, and despair it inspired. What is clear from Hamas' extraordinary action, the wider regional war threatens to spark, as well as the major pro-Palestinian protests across the Arab countries in response to Israel bombing, is that almost every assumption that undergirded the Abraham Accord was disastrously wrong, not least the idea of dispersing the Palestinians would make for a peaceful murder race. Maulana, we have now come to the end of our program. We pray that Allah Ta'ala make it easy for the Palestinians and Muslims throughout the world. We are in this month of Zulqaidah, about a month left, less than a month left for the days of Hajj. Allah Ta'ala make it easy and accept all our du'as.
Marcus Sahaba, the voice of Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah.